Hello, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Hi, it's June 25th, 2007, and thank you for all the listeners out there that have listened to this podcast since December. I really appreciate it for people subscribing to our show, and it's been a great pleasure to give travel advice to people that are planning their travels. And our website is www.traveladviceshow.com. And you can leave comments on the show and email travel questions at show@traveladviceshow.com. And we can answer your questions via email or by we can answer your question right on the show. And every week we have new topics about destinations, about kind of travel themes and topics. And today, actually, June 25th, we're talking about shopping all over the world and kind of the ways of how to shop and try not to shop too much and what kind of bargains you can get out there throughout the world. And I'm Chris Newton. I'm one of the co-hosts. And my other co-host today is Cheryl Taylor. How you doing, Cheryl? Hi.
Doing fine. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, great. I'm really happy you're back on the show again. We had a great show last week about Israel, and we kind of walked the footsteps of a traveler around Israel, and we had some great topics there. So you can listen to that show on traveladviceshow.com from last week. The reason why we picked this topic, Cheryl and myself, we've traveled all around the world, and we have shopped pretty good. We kind of got a lot of different items from around the world, and how do you feel about, do you enjoy shopping around the world, Cheryl?
I've certainly had fun shopping around the world.
Yeah.
Shopping becomes part of your travel experience, actually.
It is. It's a good part. Yeah, it's up there on, you know, just with food and learning the culture. I think you can learn a lot about the culture when you shop and in different countries, because a lot of places where you'll never get that in your hometown, you know, from all the different countries. Is there any particular areas that you enjoyed the shop around the world there, Cheryl? Is there
anything? Everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, but first I want to make sure that people know that traveling shouldn't be the whole focus of your trip, because then you might as well stay home and order from a catalog.
Right.
Because you can get a catalog that has international items. So when I've been on tours, I've seen a lot of people do nothing more than shop and forget to see the sights. So it really bugs me that they spend most of their time buying postcards to send home and buying gifts for family and friends. One of my friends and her sister, for instance, went to Ireland.
Oh, great.
And out of the whole group, they were the only two people to kiss the Blarney Stone, if you can imagine.
The only two, really? Yeah, they kissed.
Yes. The rest were in the woolen mills the entire time buying sweaters and other souvenirs.
Oh, okay. You can get distracted pretty easily, too.
They
kind of set it up pretty good, real strategically, too, in the tourist spots. You can.
They do. They drop you off and go for it.
Yeah.
But I think that's carrying shopping too far.
Yeah.
So I would say to please see something of the country you're visiting first and shop afterward, or as a side to your sightseeing. You know, like you said, a lot of times the tourists stop at a large souvenir shop, and they usually get a percentage of the money you spend there.
Right, I know. I realized that in China when I traveled around China, the tour guide, it gets a percentage of what you buy. It's good to know that too, that they're not just dropping you off just to, it's a thing to do. They're like,
not for the fun of it, huh?
Right.
Yeah, so my idea is, or my advice is, to go next door if possible, and probably you'll get a better deal because that shop has less tourists than the big store that has all the tour buses stop at it.
I agree, yeah. Like I when I was in England and Ireland, yeah, I would shop kind of in the back alleys or go where the locals shop, you know, right? And go where the people that live there shop. And you tend to get a little bit better deal I think that's a big difference, isn't it, Cheryl? Yeah, like when you find the local shops, it makes a big difference.
Exactly. If you've been to a country several times, then you have the luxury of spending more time and finding those places. Mm-hmm. Something that isn't just a glitzy tourist souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
Something that has maybe more meaning. Of course, your first trip, you're always out there buying that souvenir.
Right, right.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you're kind of, even if you don't want to, it's just fun. Yeah, like postcards or little trinkets, you know, that little tiny things. That,
trinkets, yes.
Yeah, trinkets or, yeah. I've gathered quite a few. It's kind of neat to, and then, you know, I kind of have them for my personal use. You know, it kind of brings back memories of that trip a little bit, but I try not to go overboard on that. But,
I have.
Have you really? Yeah, do you
have? I have, yes. Because I lived in Japan 5 years to start with. And,
right.
Of course, I have a lot of Japanese things because I lived there. So I was able to get the pearls, the cameras, electronic equipment, tables, antiques, dolls, fans. I mean, you name it.
Oh, great.
I've got it.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot better value than if you got it in another country. Yeah, I mean, might as well get it there while you can. Yeah,
exactly, and that was in the 70s, so it was a lot cheaper.
All right.
Too.
Yeah, I find that every country, do you find this too, every country in the world has something unique too, like, you know, in China, jade or silk, in Japan, fans, and, you know, every country has, like, their specialty, I guess, you know, almost.
They do, yes.
Yeah, and they really market that too, you know.
And we can go into that later.
I
had some ideas for a person. Unless you wish to purchase everything the country has to offer, which I must admit I've done in the past, I would try to limit shopping to a certain item. For instance, if you have some item that you're interested in, just collect items that appeal to you, not just everything they have, but like if you wanted to buy the jade in China or Taiwan or wherever you're at.
Right.
Get a jade turtle, for instance. I collected turtles, and then I collected eggs. So I've got jade eggs and other mini eggs. Well, I've collected everything, frankly. Spoons, dolls from all the countries.
Oh, nice, nice. Like
and
a collection.
Coins.
Oh, coins, yeah. I have quite a few of coins, too, yeah. That's easy. That's a good thing to bring back, yeah.
And keychains. That is the one thing that is useful.
Oh, yeah.
You can actually use those keychains.
Right, that has the country's name on it or the city or, you know, something.
Yeah, and if you really wanted to, you could take the keychain part off and make it into a necklace.
Right.
It's a very cheap necklace.
Yeah.
Not silver, probably, so it won't tarnish. Mm-hmm. It's just some kind of metal. But I've had some really interesting jewelry made that way.
Yeah, I think jewelry is a pretty common thing to get kind of when you're traveling, I think.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. And you can never have too much jewelry, you know.
And it's easy
to
pack.
That's the one thing.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a huge suitcase.
No, but you do have to remember that there's an $800 limit.
Oh.
A duty-free limit.
In America?
Yeah, when you come home, and if you've bought more than $800, which seems like a lot to me, because when I started traveling back in 1970, well, that's the first time I went to Europe, and when we came home, $100 was the limit.
Oh, okay.
So $800 seems enormous now, but things were so much cheaper back then, too.
Yeah, the dollar went pretty far there, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was able to buy ski boots in Switzerland for $35.
Oh, that's great.
And I had them mailed home.
Oh, nice.
And a ski sweater for $20.
Oh, that's really, yeah,
and
nice.
Very good. And most of the other little souvenirs I got, like Delft stuff, windmills from Holland and things from Italy, were about $2.
Jeez.
I mean, it really was a difference in price then.
Yeah.
Perhaps the $800, well, especially if you're buying a lot of jewelry. If you bought an opal in Australia, for instance, that could run you the $800.
Right away. Yeah. If you go over the 800 hours, you just have to pay tax on that, right? Or
yeah, you do.
You pay, okay, a percentage. Mm-hmm. A percentage.
Yeah,
of
percentage. I don't know what it is now. It's 10%. I saw the last time I looked. But
oh, okay.
I don't buy that much stuff anymore, so.
Right.
I don't really have to worry about that. But you also don't want to cheat on what you put down that you've bought, because if you get caught,
ooh,
the fines are quite stiff.
Oh, okay.
Clothes are another fun thing to bring back home. As you were talking about earlier, not only are there, T-shirts with a country name and design on it, that makes a fun thing to bring back home. And actually, mm-hmm, you can wear them as well, so you don't have to pack as much.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, yeah. You can actually wear the while you're traveling.
Wear your souvenir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah.
So you don't have to wash clothes so much. And some people visit Hard Rock cafes.
Oh,
in
yeah,
every country where they're at, and they buy T-shirts there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also guitar pins, shot glasses, and little bears.
All right. Right. Yeah.
So it
there's
depends
all
on what
souvenirs
you want to collect.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that. And I've also enjoyed bringing back stamps from places like Liechtenstein and Luxembourg, Russia.
All right.
Different places around the world. And little boxes. Every country has a little box of some sort.
Mm.
They're just cute.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Made out of different wood or lacquer from the countries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's something very unique to that country.
Uh-huh.
There,
yeah. Have you been to Morocco?
Morocco? No, I haven't. I've been really close. I've looked over from Spain into Morocco, on the Spanish coast there, but I've never been, but I'd love to. I heard there's some great shopping going on in Morocco.
There is, definitely.
Yeah, Marrakesh. Marrakesh.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah, a
they've
big
got a
market.
Nice bazaar there.
Yeah.
But the wood that they make the little boxes out of is just really, I don't know what kind of wood it is, but it's really a nice, and it smells nice, too.
Mm, nice. You know what I collect? I like European soccer teams or world soccer teams, or football teams. And I have a French jersey, a Chinese jersey, jerseys that I've traveled in. And it's
wow,
really neat to wear that, back in your hometown. And,
mm-hmm,
it brings back memories kind of your trip, Yeah.
And I have a friend right now that is cutting the design off her old T-shirts from trips and making a quilt out of them.
Oh, that's a great idea, actually. So, like, older shirts that, that's a great idea.
Throwing them out.
Oh, that'd be a nice collage kind of thing, that of all the different countries. And that's a great idea. Yeah, I put all my postcards together into like a big collage, and I framed it, and it looks really neat that you can, see all the different postcards from all around the world,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have some really nice ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I framed some from Paris.
Oh, yeah.
And put them in on my wall, of course. And
yeah,
a lot cheaper, too, than buying an original painting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take up so much room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if you've traveled a lot, you've collected a lot of things. And even if you just get a little thing, like a little painting or a little postcard or a little magnet, whatever, it adds up in the end so that you have, like, a massive quantity.
Oh, yeah.
Of stuff.
Real quick, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I have about at least $500 worth of magnets on my fridge now.
Really, really.
Traveling.
Magnets are a popular thing, and they're not too expensive, just a couple of dollars. They don't break the bank.
They're easy to carry home. They
right.
can cost up like $5 a piece.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or they could be cheaper. It depends on where you're at, of course.
A lot of people don't realize, like, what's a hot item, in that country kind of thing, and the value of it, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's hard to determine the value because a lot of things you have to bargain for.
Yeah, right. That's one thing that's very unique in some countries, that especially in the marketplaces, you bargain for your price. Yeah, which is
a
lot of people.
There's a lot of flea markets too, that like if you were into antiques, go to a flea market and dig through stuff and see if you can come up with something fantastic.
Yeah, I went to a great flea market in Amsterdam one time in Holland, and I forgot the name of it, but it was right kind of in the city center area, but it was a great flea market. Yeah, it was a lot of antiques, and, you know, yeah, you can come up, you can find some very unique things in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when shopping, there are places where you can bargain.
Okay.
There's places where you must bargain, and also places where there's no bargaining. So if you're in Europe and you have to buy a Hummel figurine in Germany, you probably will be paying the marked price.
Oh, okay, because it's a little more in demand there, maybe.
Well, it's in Europe.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how many times do you get a discount in the United States?
Not many.
Really?
Not many. Yeah,
and
you can
even
try.
In Japan, when I lived there, I learned how to say, give me a discount in Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
In the whole 5 years I was there, I probably saved $5 the whole 5 years.
Oh, my God.
So like they would say, okay, we'll give you off a quarter or something.
Right.
1 yen, okay. So, but if you're in Egypt or Morocco, then bargaining is a big part of the shopping experience. They expect you to bargain. And
okay.
It's not fun for them if you don't.
Almost in China, too. I remember in China, we bargained pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
In China, yeah.
So what did you offer them when you bargained? I've depending on where I'm at, I've offered one-third or one-half of what they asked for.
Yeah, I kind of did that around that, too. I wasn't too good with that, really, because I don't know, I just say, okay, that's the price, here you go, you know, and kind of thing. But a friend of mine that I was with taught me the art of it. I think that's the art, and also she was Chinese, too, so she kind of spoke
that
Chinese.
Helped.
Yeah, that really helped out. But after a while, though, I kind of enjoyed it. I think in the beginning you're a little nervous about it, you know, you don't want to offend the person. But you gotta kind of plan it out. Yours is like one half of the original price, almost, you kind of go in?
Half or a third.
Half or a third, wow, okay.
And what I found was, don't feel guilty about it, because those people, the shop people, will not sell you something if they're losing money on the deal.
Right.
So if they agree to the price, then it's still, they've made money.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, yeah, that's a good way of thinking. Yeah, like they're not gonna lose money off it or break even. Yeah, they're going to figure
all
right.
No matter what they say. Oh, you're our first customer of the day, and it's like 4 in the afternoon. And it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's. But bargaining, so that's a big part of most parts of the world. Yeah.
It's fun, and a lot of people really enjoy it, but you depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I made a really good deal in Egypt, my first trip over there.
Oh, really? Okay, what kind
of
deal?
I was in a shop. Oh. And I bought a heavy, large metal plate, you know, with the barrow in the middle and stuff. And I had learned a few words in Arabic.
Oh, nice.
You know, like hello and thank you and please and give me a discount.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a really important thing to know.
It is. And I said, it's mishmumpkin.
Oh.
Means too much.
Ooh.
And the shopkeeper loved me because I was trying to speak his language.
Oh, nice.
And so he sold me the plate for $4.
Oh, great.
So when I returned to the bus, other people were showing off their great deals, and several had gotten plates that were lighter and not as large as mine and had paid $10.
Oh,
and they thought they had gotten a great price.
Right.
I just smiled, and they couldn't believe I paid $4.
That's great.
But as they always said in Japan, remember, a little language goes a long way.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're trying to speak another language, yeah.
I mean, they were so tickled that I was speaking Arabic, just a few words, mind you. But
Yeah, but you gave an effort, though. Yeah, that's a big thing.
So try to be friendly and cheerful when you shop as well. Don't be an ugly American.
Right. Yeah. Have a smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
happy.
Matter of fact, I received several gifts along the with my purchases in the past, just because I was nice. They said I made their day. I was happy, and one place I was on a cruise from Bali, and I helped the shopkeeper unravel all these little chains on a necklace that held a boar's tooth. And then he gave me one.
Oh, okay.
When I finished, and I didn't even want it. Really. But he insisted that they were really popular and they would all be gone. You know, I must have unraveled about 20 or 30 of them. And also in other places, I've gotten little free rings from the shopkeeper just as a gift with my purchase, because he said I was friendly.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's
so
great.
So it never hurts.
It pays. It pays
friendly.
To be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
and that's happened in several countries too. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, a lot of people think, yeah, you got to be real serious, or you got to be, And I think that's part of my problem too. I'm too serious sometimes about it, and you just got to joke and laugh and, you know, just be...
Have fun with them, you know?
Yeah.
Be a regular person. And
right.
Here's the real key. I've traveled enough that I don't really care if I buy it.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah,
see?
you're not desperate.
Like, well, I really don't care.
Right, yeah. That's good. You'll just turn around and walk out, and they'll...
Exactly. I just don't care.
Yeah, that's a good way that's a good way of being. So, yeah, we kind of talked about the general, kind of approaches to shop. And, is there anything, with the different countries, like is there any real unique things that you know in different countries kind of that you could advise some people out there?
Of course. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, last week we were talking about Israel, and I think I touched on that of shopping from the trunks of cars the Garden of Gethsemane. But make sure you see the Garden of Gethsemane first.
Right. Yeah, good. Go there.
Exactly, because that's wonderful. And then they have all kinds of olive wood objects, religious objects of the Holy, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus.
Oh, okay.
They also have Bibles that have got an olive wood cover.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's fun. Nativities, of course.
Oh, okay.
And the best place to buy a nativity is in Nazareth.
Nazareth, okay.
Yeah, there's a little street down from the church there, and there's several shops that have just really good deals, I think, like $30 for a nativity.
Oh, great.
Or, a little more. I bought some for $30, and I've bought some for $60, but I never went over $60. That was a little bigger set. And that was at small shops. Now, if you went to the big shop that the tour group stops at, of course, they could cost like $400. Mm. And also in Israel, they have a stone called Elot stone. It's called kind of like malachite, and it's from the city of Elot. Down south.
Oh, okay.
They have a lot of Roman glass. They found a lot of glass Roman times. And the larger pieces, well, they've actually found little vases and little plates and things that are intact. Now, those are quite expensive, and you would buy those at an antique shop in Jaffa. That's where I went. But they also make jewelry out of the little pieces of the Roman glass.
Oh,
so you can really get a very nice pendant or pin or ring with the Roman glass in it. And the other thing there that I really enjoyed was the Ahava lotion. They make that from the salts from the Dead Sea.
Okay.
And it's just really fantastic. It's just
that sounds great.
Wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And in that same area, well, Egypt has everything, If you go to the Khan...
Okay.
That's the bazaar.
Okay.
And you can get papyruses and little pyramids and little boxes made of mother of pearl. Mm. Lots of gold and cats.
And cats, you can buy cats.
You can't, not a real cat.
Oh, okay.
Well, you probably could, but these are just little carvings of cats because cats were popular in Egypt history. So
there's all kinds of cats
on papyrus. And speaking of papyrus, the expensive ones are made of papyrus. And if you find a cheap papyrus, in quotes, it's made out of banana leaves.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're buying cheap ones for a buck, you know you're not getting the real papyrus, but they're still nice. And also you can have a cartouche necklace made there. Mm. And that's where they spell your name out in hieroglyphics.
Ooh, that'd be neat. That'd be good to get.
That's a fun thing. And they have a lot of gold charms of the pharaohs and Nefertiti and so on.
Huh. That's great.
So that's a fun place to shop. Another fun place is Korea.
Korea, okay, really?
Yeah, they have lots of jade things, amethyst, topaz, both the brown topaz, smoky topaz, and the blue topaz. They have dolls and scrolls and little vases made out of black lacquer with mother of pearl on them. They have mink blankets, not made out of mink, but it's a very heavy blanket that they call a mink blanket.
Nice, that's great. Yeah, so, you know, that kind of was good on some real specific countries there, Korea, Egypt, and Israel, kind of, you know, just really.
Mm-hmm. Now, Israel isn't really cheap, though.
It's not that cheap, really?
Not too cheap, but Egypt, Korea, and, Hong Kong. Have you been to Hong Kong?
I haven't, no. I'd like to go someday. Yeah.
You can get everything in Hong Kong.
Oh, really?
Any part of the world, you know. Yeah, anything. Electronics, jade, any kind of jewelry, anything at a discount.
Okay.
Let's see, where are some other places? Thailand is not bad either. For a discount items, like you can buy rubies and sapphires there quite economically.
Nice.
Of course, they have wood elephants, the temple rubbings. Let's see, any more places? Well, you went to China, so what did you...
Yeah, China.
I
found some great items in China. Silk, I bought a silk comforter, which was a real good value for, you know... And it was beautiful silk, and I bought some jade, a jade necklace. I bought a painting from a local artist in Beijing, a nice horse, you know, like a painted horse. And I bought, quite a few. Oh, I bought a nice silk shirt, a nice silk black shirt, you know, nice little button-up shirt, and bought a football soccer shirt too from Beijing. And then when I traveled around Europe quite a bit, I bought a lot of clothes, you know, a lot of slacks and shirts. And I in England, I used to go to the secondhand shops, you know, I kind of where a lot of used clothing is. And I found some real good bargains, actually, there that they were like some people that just were giving away their clothes, and they were really good price. Yeah, it was
like. The Desert Industries here in Utah.
Exactly.
I've never thought about doing that.
Yeah, that's a real good. Yeah, in some countries you can find those secondhand shops. Yeah. I found a suit actually. I was going to a wedding up in northern France area, and I was in England before I went to France for the wedding, and I didn't have a suit. I thought maybe I'll find a suit there in England, you know, and I went to a secondhand shop and I got it like for maybe $50, and I think the value of it was maybe like $300-$400 or so. And
wow, that is good.
It was a great deal, yeah. I really enjoy shopping in England because it seemed like it was kind of an entertainment. It was a thing to do. It was like you go shopping and you have lunch, you know. It was kind of, it was
because
out.
Because you lived there, though.
Yeah, I live there, yeah, so it was a little bit easier.
Yeah, I did that when I lived in Japan, too.
Yeah, you can just go out and, you know.
Then you had time. You didn't have to go see things.
Right.
And fit in the little shopping, you know.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, yeah.
It really does. Because, you know, Europe is not cheap for shopping. But
right, Right.
If you take a European tour, I'm taking a tour in August to Europe.
Oh, where are you going? Where are you heading?
I'm going, this will be my 20th time to Europe.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
And I'm going with my sister this time. She's never been.
Oh, nice.
So we're hitting all the countries, basically, England down to Germany, Holland, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, and France.
Excellent.
And Liechtenstein.
Oh, really? Excellent. Oh, big tour. That's a good one.
It is, yes, because she's never been.
Oh, great. Well, you can shore around and, yeah. That's.
I'm going to try, yeah.
That's excellent.
But I took a tour because, we both don't get around as well as we used to.
Right, right.
So.
Well, sounds good. Well, you know, sure, it looks like we're out of time there. And,
no way.
Yeah, it's been flying
by. Just
getting
started.
I know, like. Yeah, well, I hope we summed it up pretty good, you know, that we could help people that if they are traveling currently, that they can listen to this and figure out ways of shopping while they're traveling. And also when you live there, too, you get a great opportunity to really see the behind the scenes in different countries of what they have. And always ask people, too. I always find out if I'm traveling with somebody from that country, I find out what's real unique to that country. And you know, you can do some research before you go, and you know, yeah. But well, that's great. It sounds like you've had some great buys. I mean, it sounds really.
My house looks like a museum.
Yeah, I would like to see it sometime. That'd be great.
It's a mess.
That's great. That's great. A lot of great memories, though. Real good memories. And,
exactly. Yep.
You know. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Cheryl, and we'll have a good night.
Thank you.